Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
So, as Jess mentioned, we've been working really hard on these workbooks. I want to just give you an understanding of why we put these together. And in particular, I'm going to be speaking about the workbook called Fortify today. So, back last year in May, I had a prophetic dream. Now, some of you guys know that for me in particular, dreams are very important in terms of God's direction. And in fact, Fire Church here in Carrum Downs was birthed from a prophetic dream in 2013. God really clearly spoke to me about when to start Frankston Fire Church, where to start it, showed me in the dream the Ebdale Community Centre, and I could see us ministering at the train station. That's literally the seed of faith through a dream of how this amazing church was planted way back 10 years ago. So for me, dreams are a really important form of prophetic communication that, by the way, is available to every believer. Did you know that? God is so awesome. The prophet Joel spoke of the end time outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He talked about in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And a part of that expression of receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is God gives us the ability to hear from him via dreams and visions. Isn't that exciting? And that's not just limited to that. There are many amazing things that we get to engage in and experience as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized in the Holy Spirit. John, the most famous guy that baptized people, he said, "I baptize in water, but one will come after me that will baptize in the Holy Spirit and fire." And then, of course, on the day of Pentecost, that's what happened. God poured out his Spirit. That was the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecy from Joel. Acts chapter 2, that famous story. The day of Pentecost, there were 120 people in the upper room, and they all got baptized in the Holy Spirit, got filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so that's why we get our label Pentecostals, because we believe that what happened on the day of Pentecost is still available and happening today. That God's still pouring out his Spirit, and we need it now more than ever. Amen. And if you're with me on that, shout out, yes, Jesus, we want more of that. So the Spirit of God's really important, and so too is the Word of God. And that's why we want to put an emphasis on this workbook, this series of workbooks today, because we believe that we're in a time now where we need the Spirit and the Word really are coming together. The Pentecostals have been known for their love for the Holy Spirit and the move of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the more traditional churches like the Baptists, Presbyterians, have been more known for strong theology and their love for the Word of God. And I think that we can learn from each other. But I really think we're in a time now where we need Bapticostals. It's all in. We need the Word. We need to love the Word, study the Scriptures, be solid in the Scriptures, and love the Spirit. Amen? And in fact, Smith Wigglesworth said this in Australia. He said, when this end time move of God comes, he said, you'll know the signs of the times because the Word and the Spirit will come together. Not that they're separate, but in the way that we express church life or our faith, sometimes we separate the two, or traditionally we have. The Pentecostal camp and the Baptist camp, for example. But now, it's coming together. How many people love the Word of God in this place? It's important to know the Scriptures, amen? And if you really want to move powerfully in the Spirit of God or through the Spirit of God, it's important that you know the Word of God, amen? The two help us stay solid and strong in Him. So getting back to the dream side of things in terms of the benefits, one of the benefits of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we get to hear from God through dreams and visions. And back in May last year, God showed me a dream, and he showed me a wave of God's presence hitting this nation. And it was a wave that was awe-inspiring. It reminded me of Nazarene. I don't know if you guys have seen some of the famous big wave surfing footage that's available out there, where you literally need a jet ski to get out to the wave, and it's massive. The wave that I saw in the dream was like that, but bigger. And I saw not just one wave, but waves rolling behind it as well. It wasn't like one rogue wave that was going to be damaging. This was a series of waves that were going to hit our nation. And I heard the Lord say there's going to be an increase in deliverance and in healing and soul winning with this wave. And in the dream, I also heard the Lord say, I want you to help my people get revival ready. And a part of the reason is because in that huge wave, I saw people like trying to surf this wave, but many were bailing out because it was just so big. And they weren't bailing out because of the goodness of God and because of the healing necessarily. They were bailing out because of the intensity of the battle that comes with these revival waves. How many people know that when the revival wave hits, you can study revival history, it's on for young and old. And the enemy does not want us progressing. The enemy does not want us seeing a great harvest of souls being saved. The enemy does not want us as a church stepping into everything that God has got us in this season. So there's going to be a battle. And in the dream, I saw people bailing out because they just couldn't handle the intensity of what was happening with this revival wave. And we see right around the world right now, don't we, that there is a shaking right around the world. Within the church, there is a shaking, there is a sifting. Sadly, even amongst great expressions and great churches, even great leaders experiencing great shaking, and we're seeing disappointments all around the world of leaders that have fallen and given in to the temptation of sin in different areas. And so we need to be ready, we need to be on guard, and we need to be fortified in our faith so that we don't let the enemy in and abort what God is doing in our midst. Amen? Someone shout out, amen, help us God. So I saw people bailing out, and also there were some, it got so intense that some were even tempted not only to bail out, but to wipe out altogether and leave their faith. And we don't want to see that, do we? The Bible says, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's why we must be grounded and founded in the Word of God. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit moves, but so too do seducing spirits. And we've got to be careful of that. We've got to stick to the simplicity of the gospel. We need to know the articles of our faith. We need to be strong and fortified. Amen? So the Lord said, help my people get delivered, but also stay delivered. I think last time I was here, we saw a wave of deliverance, didn't we? It was powerful. And I love those meetings where we see divine healing, demonic spirits that have been tormenting people for many, many years, sometimes decades. And we see the power of God hit, that dunamis miracle-working power of God hit, and people get delivered, which is awesome. But what we don't want to see is a cycle of deliverance where people get delivered, but they don't know how to keep their deliverance. They don't know how to be fortified in their faith, understand their identity in Christ. Because what's supposed to happen when you get delivered, you're supposed to be fortified then, built up in the Spirit, built up in the Word, become a disciple of Christ, start that Jesus journey, and then be on the front foot. You're no longer beat up by the devil anymore, but you're on the front foot. You know the authority that you have in Christ, and then you go about helping other people get set free. That's supposed to be the disciple cycle, amen? But if we're not teaching people who they are in Christ and helping people get fortified in their faith, it becomes a deliverance cycle, where people get delivered, but then the enemy comes back because they haven't learned who they are in Christ. They haven't learned how to stand in faith. And there's still chinks in the armor. There's still open areas in their life for the enemy to come back in. And what can happen is if people allow the devil back into their life again, it can come back seven times worse. So this message, I believe, is really, really important for all of us, whether you're a new Christian or you've been in the faith for 20, 30 years, or however long. This message is for everyone. Does that sound all right? Yeah. So that's how we kind of arrived. Help my people get delivered, stay delivered, help my people be fortified. So I responded to that in obedience, and we spent hundreds of hours putting this workbook together. We're going to touch on this today. We're going to make it available for people today. And the way that we've put it together, it's a little bit different than the book, and by the way, I'm so happy to hear the testimonies of how the book is reaching people like that. That's so awesomely. But this is a workbook form, and we've built in pages for reflection and discussion. So, like, for example, our family went through this as a devotion every day, and it helps the kids stay engaged because it's put together in a simple way, but there's room for them to share their thoughts, discussion within the family. So you could do it in small groups, in home groups, with your family, with your children. You could take friends to a coffee shop and just go through it. And what I also love about the workbook format is that there's no notifications on this. Old school, pen and paper. You're going through it. You're not tempted to, let's just go and scroll Instagram for a little while. But you can be totally engaged, turn the phones off, turn the devices off. That's actually why I bought this big print Bible this year too, just to get back into the sort of organic scriptures, the written workbooks. It's been really, really beneficial. We've loved it. So that's why we've made them in the way that we've made them. All right. You guys ready to open your Bibles? Let's go to Psalms 24. Is that a familiar psalm for you guys this year? This is our theme, Ascend, isn't it? I want to show you something. It's a really powerful cross-reference. If you like the Bible, shout out, I like the Bible. All right, I'm going to read it because this is our theme for the year. So I'm going to start from verse 1. You ready? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend? Everyone say ascend. This is our prophetic theme for the year, isn't it? Ascend. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. That's a big part of ascending to the hill of the Lord, is clean hands and a pure heart. Amen. Who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Now, this is where, as I was studying this passage, and I'm going to be just continuing to meditate on this whole Psalms 24 all year. I really believe that there's so many elements to this. There's so many layers of revelation that's going to bless us this year prophetically. I'd encourage you to do the same thing. But this is where I was pleasantly, God took me to a really cool cross-reference that is relevant to us today with this book, Fortify. So verse 7 says, lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who wants the King of glory in your midst? Who wants the King of glory in your life? Did you know, in some ways, the Bible is describing us as gates. Lift up your heads, O you gates. To me, that speaks of being grateful to God, doesn't it? To entering his courts with thanksgiving in our heart, his gates, his courts with praise. When we lift our heads to him, we're not looking left and right. We're not looking back in fear. We're not looking at the former things, but we're looking up to where our help comes from. And we've got a thankful attitude. And when we do that, that's one way that we allow the King of glory in the gates. Amen. And what you let in and out of the gates is really important. I want to talk about that in terms of the theme of Fortify. Let me just read something to you really quickly. So I want you just to stay on that verse 7 for a moment, but I want to read you something. I'll go back to that in a moment. So verse 7, we'll go back to there in your Bibles. So lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that's us, that the King of glory may come in. So gates and doors. Now the cross-reference that I want to take you to, now in your Bible it may give you the cross-reference as well, but in this Bible it has a cross-reference, a direct cross-reference to Isaiah 26:2. So we go from Psalms 24 verse 7, and now we shoot across to Isaiah 26:2. And if you've got your Bibles, hopefully you do, I want you to jump across there with me to Isaiah 26:2. When you've got it, shout out, got it? You guys okay? You're following along? So we're talking about the prophetic nature of the dream, how we got to this place of developing this teaching resource. I'm showing you the flow from our passage this year of Psalms 24. And now we're using a cross-reference that's related to Psalms 24. And we're going to start from verse 1, a song of praise. And it says this, "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city." Everyone say strong city. Did you know we have a strong city? That is us as a church. And I want you to have your life looking like a strong city. So this message is for us personally in our own life, but it's also a message for us as a community. We want to be a strong city. Check this out. It says, "God makes salvation its walls and ramparts." Now that's old language that describes these large, I don't know if you've seen old photos or if you've studied castles or cities in the ancient days, but they would literally fortify their walls, massive walls and ramparts, to stop foreign things, to stop things that are going to try to harm them coming inside of the strong city. And what they allowed in and out of the gates was very, very important. And I believe in the same way, if we could understand this in our own life, what we let in and out of the gates this year is going to be very, very important. You only want the King of Glory coming in. As we lift our heads, O ye gates, ye everlasting doors, we let the King of Glory in. If we start looking left and right, if we start looking at other things that aren't of God, as we look left and right, the temptations that are all around us, what else is going to be able to come in to what is supposed to be a strong city? The enemy, the one in John 10:10 that says, the enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We need our life fortified this year more than ever. This is a very serious year. We need clean hands and pure heart. What we let in and out of our life this year is going to really affect us in either a really an amazing positive way that's going to blow you away, or the enemy is really going to cause havoc and destruction in your life or in this community if we don't block him out. We're going to fortify our faith, amen? Verse 2 says, "Open the gates." This is where the cross-reference comes in. "Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter." What are we letting in and out of our walls? We want our life to be fortified. We want our community to be fortified. We want to let the King of Glory in. And we want to let righteousness in. How do we know what to let in and out? Righteousness enters. That's what it says here in verse 2, amen? "Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter." Anything that's not with right standing with God, we don't let it in our life. Anything that's not pure, anything that's not holy, anything that's of compromise, don't let it in. Don't let the enemy in to cause destruction and havoc in your life, amen? Fortify your walls. It goes on to say, "The nation that keeps faith." Everyone say faith. Anything that's fearful, don't let it in your mindset anymore. Amen. Anything that's the opposite of faith. "The nation that keeps faith, you will keep in perfect peace." Within the fortified walls, within the strong city that the Lord is establishing for us, we have access to this perfect peace. Philippians 4 says it like this, that there is a peace that passes understanding that guards the heart and guards the mind. Amen? That's what we want within our community, within our life, within our families. And we need to fortify our life to make sure that nothing else comes in to destroy that, to steal that, to hinder that. Amen? Are you with me so far? The nation that keeps faith. And this first workbook, Fortify, is based on this principle. We want to help people get delivered and stay delivered. And we've systematically gone through the subject of faith, defining faith, scriptural basis for faith. Understanding faith as a spiritual force. That's just session one, for example. And it's based on this idea of strengthening our city, the strong city. God, make salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter. The nation that keeps faith, you will keep in perfect peace. Check this next part out of verse 3. Those whose minds are steadfast. Everyone say steadfast. This book, the idea of this workbook, this scriptural workbook, is to help your mind become steadfast. Who wants to be even more transformed this year? Into the image of God. What's the key? It talks about in Romans. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what it is to be steadfast, to be fortified, to not let the enemy in. We're in a real battle this year. The world is in a real battle. We are going to see some of the most phenomenal things in the kingdom of God that we've ever seen before. But at the same time, we're going to see some of the most crazy shakings and enemies' tactics that we've ever seen right around the globe. This is a serious year, and we need to know what it is to be steadfast in our mind. Those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you, trust in the Lord forever. Someone say, God, I trust you. So that's a part of how the process of how prophetically we got to this point today where finally we're able to release this workbook. It started in May last year, and we put a lot of work into it to create a resource to strengthen you personally, to strengthen your family, the small groups, the people that you're doing life with, kingdom life with, and of course, as a community, as a church here in the region of Frankston as well. So let me just give you a little example. If you've got your Bibles, you can have a look at Romans 10:17. I'm just going to go through some of this first part of the workbook to give you a taste. We're going to pray for some people today, and then we're going to make these books available, and we're going to hopefully personally be able to pray for a number of you that are interested in receiving this book today. So let's have a look at the first part, Romans 10:17. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to read from the workbook. A scriptural basis for faith. The scriptural basis for faith lies primarily in the truth and infallibility of God's word. In other words, God's word is perfect. And if you don't think that, if you get tricked out of that, then that's one way the enemy is going to be able to come in through the walls. You know, there are a lot of different winds of doctrine out there that would have you believe that not all scripture is inspired by God. And there is a modern day trend of, and it's probably been happening not just in modern times, it's the enemy's got no new tricks, to be honest. But I see an increase in this popular idea that you can just come along and pick and choose the scriptures to suit your lifestyle. That's dangerous. That's actually it's using the Bible to create your own religion. You become your own guru. And you just pick and choose some of the scriptures to present your own Jesus that you've made up yourself. That's called idolatry. It's a fake Jesus. It's not the Jesus of the scriptures. So it's really important that we follow the Jesus of the Bible. Amen? And we start with this as a foundational idea that every scripture is given by inspiration of God, the infallibility of God's word. And Romans 10:17 says this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To have faith is to be fortified. To have faith is to be able to hear from God. One of the best ways to hear from God is the living word of God, is the scriptures. And that's why we're emphasizing the scriptures today. I love hearing from God through dreams and visions, as I mentioned, as part of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But I also need to understand that the scriptures are perfect. This is really how I'm going to have strong faith in God. Amen? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This verse emphasizes that our faith begins and grows through a consistent intake of God's word. Everyone say consistent. Notice in Romans it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say faith comes by having heard. It says faith comes by hearing. A consistent intake of God's word helps fortify from the enemy's plans. Keeps you in faith, not fear. Keeps you holy, not compromised. Because there's a consistent intake of God's word. It's really, really important. It allows us to internalize his promises and principles. What does that mean? We don't just want head knowledge. We want to meditate on it in such a way that it becomes a part of who we are. We get it from our head into our spirit. And it becomes second nature, where the word of God is not something that we're, or the promises of God, or the truths of God is not something that we're trying to understand. It just becomes who we are. And when a challenge comes, when a trial comes, when a test comes, we immediately know how to take up the shield of faith that extinguishes the fiery darts from the wicked one. Amen? So as we systematically go through the principles of faith, these are some of the things that you're going to discover. As we immerse ourselves in the Word, we understand God's character and His unfailing love for us, which bolsters our faith in Him. Everyone say, bolsters our faith. Another important scripture that speaks of how we get faith is in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. And Jesus tells His disciples, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he has said, that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So to have that type of faith, that all in faith, it's important that you're hearing from God. We are not trying to conjure up our own, our life. It's not about our will, is it? It's not my will be done, God, but your will be done. That's how you're actually able to move mountains, so to speak. But you know it shall be done. Amen? That's the difference. Jesus emphasizes the power of faith coupled with prayer, indicating that faith is not a passive attribute, but an active living force that shapes our actions and outcomes. That sound all right? So that's what we're going to be going through. Scriptural basis for faith. Then we're going to be looking at understanding faith as a spiritual force. We talk about Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16, the shield of faith. We talk about Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17, how the word of God is also a sword. So it's not a passive faith, is it? It's an active faith. And then we finish with reflections, and then we go on to session 2, etc. And we learn about our identity and the victory that we have in Christ. So I wanted to touch on that today. I want to give you access and the ability to be able to go through these workbooks in your own life, in your family's life, and I think that's really important. But right now, I actually want to ask everyone to stand to their feet. I think what we're about to do now is really important. This message, this book is for Christians, it's for believers, but I think this morning that there are people that are here and you're not yet in the faith. And so first of all, to understand the blessings of God, to understand how to fortify your life, how to stop the enemy, the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. First of all, you need to come and get right with Jesus first and be born again. Amen? Amen. Who's excited about what God's about to do right now? I might ask the band to come back up if we can. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just quietly begin to pray in the Spirit as we just wait on the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for this resource. Father, I thank you for the fruit that it will bear. All the many hours of work that we put into this to get into hands of people, to have them fortified in their faith and strong this year, ready to take on anything that comes at them and take on everything that God's promised them in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for this flourishing community, that you're wanting us to go from strength to strength, from glory to glory. You're preparing us. There is such a shaking right around the world at the moment, and you're wanting us to be ready, to be fortified. God, I thank you for the book and the teaching tonight, and both of these resources. And Father, it's a war, but the greatest weapon in this war, help us understand an intimate, genuine relationship and devotion with you. And as that flows, help us to be fortified and strong in our faith, understanding that we have an enemy. Help us not only see people delivered, but stay delivered and discipled and built up in their faith. We thank you for these them to be. And you said in Matthew 28, teach all nations to observe all things that I taught you this year, and ready for whatever comes our way. In Jesus' mighty name. Yeah, if you're with me on that, someone just shout out, Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah. Come on, yes. Hallelujah. And I've asked everyone to stand to their feet, bow their heads, close their eyes, and for those watching on the live stream, I want to try to create somewhat of an intimate moment. With you and God. I know that we're in a room full of people, but in this moment, God wants to speak to your heart. As I mentioned, there is a shaking this year that's happening in the church, outside of the church, wars, rumors of wars, craziness on many different levels, multifaceted attacks from the enemy. But also, there's a move of God on the horizon like we've never seen before. And we want to make sure that we're able to ride this wave this year. And so if there's an opening that the enemy has, if you picture it like walls, and there are, I believe there's some, there's, you haven't really even understood what it is to live wholeheartedly for God. You've kind of got your own belief in some higher power, maybe some of you. You're open to spiritual things, but I want to tell you, Jesus is the only way. Every religion, there are many different religions, all the major religions. One of the reasons I landed with Jesus was because I studied all the other major religions before I finally followed Jesus wholeheartedly. And one thing I realized was they all acknowledged Jesus to some point. In the Quran, they note Jesus, they call him Isa in their language. They said he did miracles, they said he was a prophet. They acknowledge Jesus. The Jews, they acknowledge Jesus existed, but many of them, not all of them, many of them rejected him as the Messiah, but yet they acknowledge him. And you can go to Israel and look at the places where Jesus walked, still today. Many places. You can go to where Ephesus was in Turkey and all these different places that are written in the Bible. It's not some fantasy story, man. This is real. This is legit. One of the last things Buddha says was, keep searching for the truth. Keep searching for the light. People follow Buddha, but he's pointing elsewhere. He wasn't pointing to himself. So I thought all these other major religions and groups, the Hindus. I was talking to an Uber driver that was used to be a Hindu, and he told me his process of how he found Jesus. Because Hindus actually acknowledge Jesus as one of the Christs. And in some of the ancient writings, they actually describe his crucifixion. He explained to me his process of becoming a Christian and rejecting all the other gods. In his heart, he knew there's one God. And so when I started to think about this, I realized that in history, in every religion, in every part of the world, Jesus is acknowledged. Our whole holiday structure as a Western world is built on Jesus. Christmas, Easter. It's for a reason, our whole time frame. 2024 is a time frame based on Jesus. That made me go to the scriptures and go to the Bible and go to the eyewitnesses that were with him, that were documenting his words. And he said this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no one shall come to the Father but through me. But through me. Isn't that awesome? He described the narrow way that leads to life. He said, few there be find it. Wide is the path that leads to destruction. You got all these different false gods. That's one of the biggest tricks of the enemy, is to set up false religions. The Bible says the devil masquerades as an angel of light. Come over here, look over here. But Jesus is the narrow way and the only way. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, for some this could be totally new. You want to come to Jesus as your Lord and Savior and be spiritually born again. Jesus is the only one that can take away your sin, that you can put you back in right standing with God again. For others, it could be more of a call to lordship. You're being convicted. There are openings in what is supposed to be a strong city. Jesus describes salvation as a strong city, but there are many different openings and ways that the enemy comes in and out of your life to bring chaos and destruction. But you want to shut the door on sin today and be wholehearted for God this year. No more compromise. If you be courageous enough this morning to say, that's me, I want to be all in for Jesus, would you raise your hand real quickly, because I want to personally pray for you. God bless you, man. Anybody else? God bless you down the back. That's so awesome. Anybody else? You want to be all in for Jesus? Just raise your hand up nice and high so I can see it. I'm going to pray for you in a moment. God bless you. God bless you. That's amazing. Isn't this awesome? Let's give them a round of applause, all those people that have put their hand up so far. Come on, God. Have your way. Salvation, let it be a strong city in our life, fortified in our faith. Anybody else? We want to celebrate you. The Bible actually talks about a huge party in heaven. All of heaven celebrates when people come back to Jesus, all the angels. Right now, there are so many different things happening in the world, but God's eyes are upon you in this moment. Isn't that awesome? He loves it. Nothing's more important to him than when someone comes back and gives their life to Jesus. Is there anybody else? We'll take a little bit more time. You want to give your whole life to God? We can wait a little longer. You can put your hands straight up. What I want to do now is I want to, oh, God bless you. That's so awesome. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise. Now, I want to be able to personally pray for you. So I want to invite everyone that put their hand up. If you could come, and we're all going to cheer you on and celebrate, and just come to the front so I can personally pray for you in this moment. Let's give them a round of applause as they come forward. Yeah, keep cheering them on. This is so cool. If you want to come a little bit closer just so I can see who you are, that's awesome. Now, also too, if maybe you're here and you're new, it can be a little bit daunting and when you don't know anybody, and coming up the front is a big step. So I just want to congratulate everyone that has made that decision right now. But if there's anybody else, and maybe you're here with a friend and you're literally sitting with them right now and you're like, man, I should be up there, but why don't you ask your friend, if you want to come to the front, you can support them, so I'll come up with you. So just ask them now if you want to come to the front and come up and give your whole life to Jesus. We want to cheer you on. So just do that now. And if they do want to grab their hand and come on up as we celebrate them as they give their life fully to Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is a big day, man. This is the day that the Lord has made. Now, we're going to put the devil on the back foot this year. Amen. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Jesus is King. Jesus brings healing, life, freedom, peace. That's why we call it the gospel. It's the good news. That's what it means, the good news. So we've got these beautiful people at the front. Is there anybody else? You guys are already up here? Have I missed anybody? Hey! Awesome. This is beautiful. So what we're going to do now, I'm going to step down and we're going to pray because I'm already too tall as it is. And you guys are like, let's all stretch out our hands. So cool. You can already feel the power of God, can't you? Moving. It's beautiful. God bless you. Are you supporting your friend? Yeah, that's awesome. Sister, huh? That's so cool. God bless you, mate. Well done, man. Awesome. All right. Let's stretch out our hands, guys. This is so cool. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask that you guys just follow along. In this prayer, it's a prayer that's based on the truth of the Word of God about what it is to be saved. It talks about believing in your heart. It talks about confessing with your mouth in the book of Romans. These are ways that we communicate with God from our heart. It's not magic words. It's not some religious ritual or formula. It's just something from our heart, and God hears your heart, knows your heart. In this moment, God washes away all your sin. And literally those walls to fortify your life from the enemy, from all of the enemy's tactics, will be set in place. As it says in Isaiah, that salvation will be your strong city. And you'll learn what it is to be, not only be get delivered, but stay delivered. Only let the King of glory and only let righteousness in. And we stop anything else from coming in the gate. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's all pray together. You ready? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus, for dying on the cross and rising again on the third day. God, I ask that you forgive me for all my sin. I ask that you wash me clean. Make me brand new. Holy Spirit, I ask that you fill me. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with your power. I thank you for the gospel, God. That is the power of God unto salvation. I thank you for a born-again spirit. I thank you that I've become a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I declare, now is the day of salvation. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise.